Sakhi, my business. Tashma, we are on Sadi Chesem and Aleph. We are about 15 lines down, about 12 lines down. Tashma, Taisus Nasa across, 2 lines up. Tashma, Adam Rav Yaisi. Maisa Beniftiyam Hager. A story with Niftiyam Hager. Shinasa Aches Achiv Me'imai. He married his maternal brother's wife. I started Tashma. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th line down from the top. Tari Chesem and Aleph.
Same father?
Again, it says, Aches Achiv Me'imai. That means it's not the same father. Right? He married his maternal brother's wife. And the story came in front of the Chacham. The Amrun, they said, Ein Ishus Lager. A ger has no marriage. Those are the words. Frank the Gemara, what? A ger, the Kaddish, and Amrun, it tells about Kedushin? But a ger that makes Kedushin, it's not valid? How long is that? A ger is a Jew. Ella Ema ain't Isser Aishas Achlager. There's no Isser Aishas Ach. Somebody is not muted on the line. There's no Isser Aishas Ach to a ger. Meaning, he married his brother's wife. That's fine. Now, this is Aishas Ach of Me'imai. And before we said, that at least according to one Lashon, everybody agreed that Aishas Ach of Me'imai, he can't marry rabbinically. And here the Chachamim are saying, no problem. My love, the Nasva Achkashu Ger. What happened was, they were both Megayer, and then one Ger married the other Ger's wife. That's what it sounds like. And that is what we said before, according to one Lashon, everybody agrees it's Usher. According to one Lashon, Shesha said it's Usher. But the bottom line here is that it says it's Mutter. Two Gerim, Nifti and Ager. We call him Nifti and Ager, that means he was Megayer after birth. And he's not a Ger. Somebody is not muted. Dr. Gemara, right, the Nasuk Shlaiva Gechavim. What happened was, two Gayim married women. One guy divorced his wife. The other brother married his brother's wife while they were still Gayim. And now they're Megayer. So the marriage of Brother A to Brother B's wife happened while they were Goyim, which was perfectly legal. Goyim are allowed to marry their brother's wife. No Erev of Eishes Ach by a Goy. Now they're Megayer. So we say they came to ask Yeshayla. Niftiyim came to ask Yeshayla. I married my brother's wife. Now I'm Jewish.
Is she Jewish?
Yeah, everybody was Megayer. He remarried his brother's wife. He had to do Kedusha now. He hadn't done Kedusha before. But it's his brother's wife. But it wasn't his brother's wife as a Jew. It was his brother's wife as a guy. Biologically. As a guy. Biological is kids. Wife is not a biological.
Brother biological.
His maternal brother's wife. He married her when they were all Goyim. Four Goyim. Two men, two ladies. Each one, A, married one lady, B married another lady, B got rid of his wife, A married her. Now A is Megayer, and he comes and asks Shiloh, can I stay married to this woman who was my brother's wife? And the answer is yes. You can stay married to this woman. Has no bearing on the Machloikas before, which had a Ger marry his brother's the Ger's wife. Here, it's the guy marrying his brother the guy's wife, then later turning into a Ger. It's a different question.
Did Ger marry his mother?
Dr. Gemara. Look, the Nasva Ach, the Nasva Kshayv Kachav, Frakti Gemara Kshayv Kachav, my Lememra. What would be the Chiddush? Of course there's nothing wrong. It's your brother, the guy's wife? Why would that make an impact? Dr. Gemara, Ma'al the Tema, Ligzik Kshayv Kachav, Matuk Shiger. Maybe we should expand the Gzeira to say, just like we don't let a man marry his Ger brother's wife because we're afraid people will confuse it with a Yid. So maybe we should say, brother, you can't marry any brother's wife, even if the marriage took place before everybody became Jewish. Mashma learned that they didn't expand Xerah to that degree. Yes, can a gay marry his mother? Biblically, yes. Rabbinically, no.
Why?
Honestly, the reason is Shloyim Rubanim Mekdusha Chamur L'Kdusha Kala. There's another reason which is not mentioned in this whole sugya, which we mentioned earlier, way back when in Yevamos, that we don't want Gerim to say that we would get, listen, I wasn't allowed to marry her as a guy, and now I'm allowed to marry her. So any erva that was ushered to a guy, we don't want it to become permitted to a yid. While the guy in the Sheva Mitzvah's B'nai Nayak, when they're Megayah, it's not his mother anymore.
It's not included in the...
Eishes Zakas, no, there's no marital erva except for Eishes.
Mother
is not in marital erva.
Oh.
Only marital, I shouldn't say that. There's according to one Mandi Amar, there's an Isha HS Av. A father's wife, according to one Tana, is Asher and Sheva Mitzvah's B'nai Nayak.
Interesting that the Gemara used the same word for a non-Jewish marriage as a Jewish marriage. Why would they use the same term? I mean, because we don't really recognize.
For what we're supposed to use.
mean,
you use the same term. You just did the same thing in English. But you know why? Because there's no other word. You don't want to say live together because that indicates out of marriage. But this was a marriage.
What does that word mean?
Marry. Husband and wife. Husband and wife. It indicates valid marriage. Goyim valid marriage is different than Yidden's valid marriage. But there is such a concept called valid marriage by a guy. I don't know one. Yeah, we use the same word too in English. I understand. I understand what you're trying to say, but there is no other word that I know of.
If a Jewish man has an affair with a boy's woman who's a married woman, is
that
necessary,
the
Jewish man?
It's not Chayim Misa. I don't think he's Chayim Misa. I don't believe so. This is an Eishes Ish. He's a recognized Eishes Ish for a guy.
What's the
issue
of a man living with a
guy?
A
guy
living with a
guy? What? What's the issue?
A man living with a
guy? It's Kanaan Pagan. The Gemara says that when Zimri lived with Kazmi, which was a Jewish
I'm
man.
Saying it made it public. I'm not saying it's public.
No. The halacha is. Habayil kusis kanoim paygim bay. There is no punishment, but anybody that's a zealot can kill him while he's engaged in the relationship.
Okay, but that doesn't answer the question.
Don't worry, that doesn't answer the question.
Yeah, with all due respect, Rebbe, that doesn't answer the question.
If your gift was here, it's really serious.
Right, okay, it's not, you're deprived. You're not seeing anything.
You want to know where's the law for that?
Yeah,
I'm not 100% sure it says even a law. I'm not even sure it's a law. There's no chiyuv malchus. The only punishment is kanoim paygim bay. Because I'll say, a zealot can come while they're having their the minute they separate, can't do anything. I think it's Bezna Shil Shem Gozer. I think it's a Takana Drabonon, way back when, all the way back before Matan Tyra.
And what if the woman was Jewish? Would you still be able to...
I'm sorry?
Two Jews engaging in that, would you be able to kill them?
No. No. Two Jews engaging in an out-of-wedlock relationship... No, you cannot kill them.
Is it because it could be a form of marriage?
No, it's because the Chazal didn't say it on that.
Is that more of a problem for Nida?
Again, we're not talking about the problem. Right. We're talking about whether a zealot can kill them.
Right.
Just because of Lydia Kaddish. Don't think about it. Don't
ask you. Who gave the smicha, the guy's a zealot? I mean, who gives that title? You have to go to yeshiva, okay. You're a zealot, you're not a zealot, and the person, what?
don't know why this is the conversation now, but...
It's a very good thing that he said. I just don't know what...
It's a sugya in Sanhedrin, and the answer is a kanoi, somebody that it burns in them. He can't handle it. It's an emotional reaction. Zealousness.
I'm a zealot.
You're a zealot? Okay, so you're a zealot.
How can anyone laugh?
Yeah.
A few people
can
laugh at that. Very few understood that.
Okay, you should give a Pierce Rossi in your jokes. In the safer, should be a Gaelic of jokes in the back. Why are you back in Parshas Bereishis? You were up to Parshas Vayera or Chayetz
Tzara. Actually, more Kedushim. I told one yesterday to someone,
looked out. Right. Don't think about it. Don't trashy. Nifti Mager, the Nosvach of Hameis, Shuger. To have a Kedushin, meaning one of the brothers died and the other brother married her. V'shayil achav, the ein la'achav, the katan shenar l'dami. There's no considered brothers because they're katan shenar l'dami. That's the havamina. So we thought what happened was it's two gerim, two brothers, they both married, one died, and his other brother married his wife, which according to Roshesus is prohibited. The answer is Kishai v'kachav, Mishin is Gaia l'yadav. They never lived together as Jews. We'll have a little Kedushin. There was never a marriage. As far as Judaism is concerned, the Ger's brother was never married to this woman. Two Gerim. But one was never married. He lived with, it was his wife when he was a guy. He never lived with her afterwards. Fine. Zakt Gemar Weiter.
It doesn't matter if he didn't marry her prior. In other words, he wanted to marry her now. He was married. The other brother was married. There's a guy. Everybody was a guy. They're all Maguire. And now he decides he wants to marry this lady that was once my brother's wife.
Again.
Doesn't matter.
Is she married to the brother after they became Jews?
No.
So then why should it be us, sir? Zakta Gemara Vayta Tashema. The Amr Ben Yashim. Whoever that was. Shalachti l'karchei hayam, when I went to a city in the sea, meaning an island, what does he say, karchei hayam?
Maritime city.
Matzasi ger echad shenasa eishes achav mi'imoy. I found a ger who married his maternal brother's wife. Amati l'abini, mi'er shechav. Who allowed you to do that? Amali, hari'isha v'shiva b'na'a. I have a woman and seven kids. Yashiv Rebbe Kiva, Asaf Sulzeh Yashiv Rebbe Kiva. There's a woman and seven kids. I think what he's trying to say is, he has the testimony of the woman and the seven kids. He has a story of a woman and seven kids. That Asaf Sulzeh Yashiv Rebbe Kiva, and the Kiva sat on this bench, the Yomer Shnei Dvarim, and he said two halachas, two facts. One, Ger Naisei Shizaka Mimai, and the Kiva said a Ger can marry his maternal brother's wife. The Yomer, he also said, Vahi Dvar Hashem O Yoinis Shainis, says Hashem spoke to Yoinis a second time, Leimor, Shainis Dibri Meshchino, Shchino Lashlishis Lo Dibri Meshchino. Hashem only spoke to him two times, he never spoke to him a third time. So therefore, I know it's mutter, because the woman and seven kids had this story with Rebbe Kiva, and he told them that a brother can marry a maternal brother's wife.
What does that have to do with the
woman? Nothing. He just said over two things on Rebbe Kiva. Tanim is, Yair Naisai Shisakam Imai. Rebbe Kiva said a guy can marry his maternal brother's wife. He said before not.
According to one opinion.
Or according to one lush in both opinions. And for the Gemara, my lad did not swear to Shuker. Again, didn't his brother marry her, meaning it was his brother's wife when they were Jewish already? But the Gemara did not swear to Shuker. He had been his brother's wife. The same answer we gave before. The same discussion. Frank the Gemara, my lad member, so what's the Kiddush? My lad did not swear to Shuker. The same Gemara. you would think that the Gzeir expands any brother's wife, even though she was your brother's wife when he was a guy. Kamash Malan, that we did not expand it to that case. Nothing. See, I would answer you that whenever the Gemara does these things, Rav Ashi and Ravina are compiling things that happened in different Bate Midrashim across Babel. And in one Beit Medrash, they ask the question from here. In one Beit Medrash, they ask the question from here. And they reach the same Maskana. However, the Mefarshim do ask it, always look for an added thing in each Raya. I didn't go through it, but they do talk about it. Rashi? Dr. Rashi? Hari Isha Giyaris Yeshiva Benehav. There's a woman that's a Giyaris and her seven sons. She hit Tilam Rebbe Akiva. Listen, she says, I'll come from him, Lamati. And from him, I learned. It happened with the woman and the seven kids. And Rebbe Akiva said it's mutter. So I did it too. Gemara understood that to mean he married his brother the Ger's wife. The answer is no. He married his brother the Ger's wife. She had been his wife when they were Gayim, not when they were Gerim. She was never his Jewish wife.
Let's say she was a Jewish wife.
So that's the Shiloh. Did they rabbanan answer it or not? It's Gershon, it's Gaia, and cut in Chanel dummy. Biblically speaking, they're not brothers.
Question, did
rabbanan answer it? Because they don't want people to think that Jewish people can do this. We had that machlokes earlier. Frek the Gemara Mima Haman. How is that Ger believed? The Amar of Alba, Amar of Hun, Amar Rav. Kol Tamat Chacham Shemayr Halacha Ubab. Anytime a chacham that tells you halacha, im kaidem ma'isa amra shaymalai. If he tells it to you before it pertains to him, we listen to him. Im lav, if he tells it to you when it pertains to him personally, ain't shaymalai. And what person walks in is a shayla that pertains to him, and he says, "Oh, I know it's mutter." Excuse me, you're negay of a dover. Now Rashi seems to indicate that we don't trust you. Maybe you're not saying the truth. The Ritva says, maybe you're mistaken. We're afraid that your negias, your involvement, your personal involvement, makes you not remember it correctly or quote it correctly. Here we're relying on this person. It pertained to him. They're asking him, how can you marry your brother's wife? And he says, oh, I know because Rebbe Akiva, I heard it from the lady. Excuse me, it pertains to you. How can we rely on you on something that we didn't know? We didn't know this halacha of Rebbe Akiva. You're telling it to us when it pertains to you. Dr. Gemara, a bunch of terutzim, three terutzim.
Rabbi, I'm not understanding the situation. I thought in the last situation we had, this was not a Talmud Chacham. It was just a Ger. Here, we're talking about.
First of all, the Ger might have been a Talmud Chacham. Right, so it's even Adarabba, so you're making the question stronger. We don't even trust the Talmud Chacham.
I'm going to question the whole thing. But why we're saying in the first situation, it was his own personal situation, and now we're relating it to this general idea that a Talmud Chacham can't talk about.
Correct.
Number one, Talmud Chacham. Okay, so he may have lost some objectivity, but he's a Talmud Chacham.
But you just answered the question.
We
say a lot of things about Talmud Chacham, but objectivity is objectivity.
Number two.
Again, see, let me try to explain something. This almost doesn't pertain today, because if the Talmud Chacham tells you that the Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter, take a look.
I know. So this is my next question. The next question is, this is a very specific situation. Oh, he didn't happen to mention it? That doesn't mean it wasn't in his head or in his breadth of knowledge. There's a 3 billion situations that could go on. Just because he had not related it to them and they remembered it, why should it be tossed out? He may be the repository of the knowledge of the community.
But he also doesn't have objectivity, so we can't rely on it. Again, remember, this is Tarek Shabbat Peh. It's all handed down by word of mouth. We have to rely on the authenticity of everything that's being handed down. When there's a question of objectivity, we can't rely on authenticity.
This is our guy. This is our community's guy. This situation is weird, and it has popped up. Where do we go?
It's a big question, but you can't. It's exactly what the Gemara is saying. We can't rely. He's not objective.
What?
The guy in the he's the Rebbe.
What's the Mehemina?
To say that Rabbi Kiva said that.
But not to say that he was not married to the
wife. No, yeah. He walked in, he told us halacha in the name of Rabbi Kiva. It happened to pertain to him. We cannot accept that halacha that pertains to him if he's the only source.
Do we believe him that Rabbi Akiva sat there and said this?
At this point, we can't trust. Well, the Gemara is going to give three answers, so let's see the three answers. He had told us this halacha before. This isn't the first time he quoted Rabbi Akiva. He had told this Rabbi Akiva over to people before he married this woman. So it's not he just told us something that all of a sudden. He had been quoting this Rabbi Akiva before his marriage. Yassian didn't hear it till he got here. But people said, yeah, he's been telling us about this Rabbi Akiva a long time ago before it pertained to him. That's one answer. He's very specific. He said there was a woman and seven kids. He gives a background to this. This is not just a statement from Rabbi Akiva. He's saying there's a woman with seven kids. And this is what happened. There's a story to this.
You can go ask them.
Well, I don't know if they're still alive. I don't know if they are or not. But gives a background to the story. If you make a mistake, you make a mistake in a fact, in a quote, not in a whole story. He also said a second thing for Rabbi Akiva. If this would be the only quote, we would be questioning. But he's saying over, Rabbi Akiva said two things on this stone. The very fact that he's accurately transmitting, the other thing tells us that he's accurate in transmitting this as well. Rashi. Zok Rashi, Im kaidim shabah maisa liyadoi. Hoya ragel l'shnaisa l'tamid avish to teach it to his students, shaymalai. Im lav, hoya l'dvach chidishu. It's a new thing we never knew. Shema b'shom maisa shabah liyadoi emra. Maybe he's saying it because, in effect, it's good for him. Now, Rashi seems to indicate we're saying he fabricated it. The Ritzvah says, we're not accusing a Talmud Chacham of fabricating. He might be misquoting it slightly. He brought a proof. He said something else with it. It makes it much more believable. He heard these two things together. Therefore, we believe him in the whole thing.
It's partial things are up in there that says that the reason he brought the other story to show that the people in Nineveh had such a truth that they could let them know them. That's why he put it together.
Okay, very nice. Yes?
I'll share this with a question. So, the question was...
questions don't have to be good. Questions just have to be questions.
Whether he's okay or not. So if he's over the city, he's passing every Friday afternoon whether the chicken that each villager shows him is kosher shchita, he's also no gear because he's going to eat chicken also.
Hold on a second. When the Rav passes the chicken, he's passing because he knows the shach and the tads. He can give you exactly where it's written.
No, I'm talking about at that time, the same time when there was Torah to the Torah Baal Peh. There's only Torah
about that.
How can you trust anyone?
Well, A, if he taught that halacha ever before, it was negayah him. B, who says he's eating the same chicken? It's a good question. Famous story with the Gra. You know, again, as true as stories are. Somebody had a shayla and a chicken on Friday night. And one of the members of the family, in Zonda, one of the members of the family went to ask the Grav, and one of the members of the family went to ask the Rav of the city. The Rav of the city said it's kosher, the Grav said it's treif. They both come home, and one says, I was told it's kosher, and one said, I was told it's treif. So they go back to the Rav, and they said, the Grav said it's treif. So the Rav said, I'm the Rav of the city, I said it's kosher, tell the Grav he has to eat a piece of it. So they went back to the Gra, and they said, the Rav said he passed this kasha, you have to eat a piece of it. All of a sudden, the candle with wax tripped over and fell on the piece that they had brought to the Gra to eat. So Teretz says, the Rabban Shalom saved the Gra from eating it. Didn't prove the halacha. The Gra was machmer, so he didn't have to eat it. So much to eat. The Rav paskins, but the Rav paskins some sources, and you can have machloikas.
What's the Rav? His Gra could be machmer. What's he forcing the Gra to eat it for?
Because not the family won't eat it.
That's right.
Yeah, but the fact that he told them it's trade. If he would have said, go ask the Rav, whatever the Rav says, and he didn't. He paskened the trade. Again, is the story true or not? I wasn't there. You know, I wasn't there. I read it in a book.
Why would the Rav have to restore
to the family the feeling that it's kosher? It is kosher. The Rav said it's kosher, it's kosher. But he didn't eat it at the end of the day. The Rabbanis saved him. So, again, this is a story. I never vouched for this. I wasn't there.
Did the family eat the chicken?
Was it roasted or fried? I have no idea.
Turkey white meat.
What?
Was it dark meat? Was it white meat?
That's the second volume.
Amamar. Vahi dvar Hashem ayayin eshein eslemar. Because this was one of the quotes. We start talking about this. Hashem spoke to Yain a second time, saying, and we say, "Shein is dibri imay shchina shlishis lo dibri imay." Only spoke to him a second time, not a third time. Frakti Gemara, it's not true. B'gzachsev says later on, "Lueshem is goy yisrael milavei chamas adyam aravam." It's talking about Yeravam ben Yayash. He was one of the kings of the Malchi Yisrael, one of the Malchi Yisrael, and he brought back the boundary of Israel. He reconquered a lot of land. The Levi Hamas ad Yam Arava, from Hamas to Yam Arava, to the Sea of the Plain. Kidvar Hashem, like Hashem had said, Ashadibra Biyad Avda, Yoinah ben Amitai Anavi. That means Yoinah had been the messenger to the king that you will be successful in reconquering the land. That means Hashem spoke to Yoinah another time. He spoke to him more than twice. Zakti Gemara, Amar Ravi, now Iske Ninveh Kamar. He only spoke to him twice about Ninveh. But other things he spoke to him other times. Nachmar Yitzchak Ami Kamar. Amar Haki Kamar. No, he only spoke to him twice. That pussy doesn't mean that Hashem has sent a message to the king that you will be successful in reconquering. It means, just like when Yaina told Ninveh that they did tshuva and they became from bad to good, so Yeravam ben Yayash will turn the situation of Yisrael from bad to good. It's being used as a symbol, as a, what word I'm looking for, I don't know. What?
Metaphor.
Kidvar Hashem ha-shadibah b'yad avda anavi, meaning, Shem she-nepach nimzei mirah l'tayva. Kach m'me Yeravam ben Yayash, nepach lam Yisrael mirah l'tayva. It's a metaphor. It's like saying, It was so good by Yeravam ben Yayash's time, there was such a turnover. Like by Ninveh, there was such a turnover. The Achaer says, because they did tshuva in the days of Yeravam ben Yayash, similar to the tshuva that Ninveh had done. Rashi. Al iskei Ninveh, hu heshiv Yeravam ben Yayash. Al iskei Ninveh kamer, v'edibre imay al iskei Ninveh, el ishtei pavim. Hashem did not speak to him about Ninveh only two times. Yes. I can't hear what you're saying. That's the second time, no? What? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know Yaina well enough. I mean, I do listen to it once a year, but I don't know.
What's important?
I have no idea. I guess to know how many times. I don't know. So the Mashal asked him to Kikoyan. And he says, Ein ze dibur shlishi. It wasn't a message. It was like telling Yaina, you get. It was a personal thing with Yaina.
It wasn't like a
nevuah. It wasn't a nevuah, go do. it was, you're upset about the Kikoyan? Well, it was a message to Yaina. It wasn't a shlichus to go b'nevuah. That's what the Marsha answers.
Now, everyone just said that story. It wasn't a sad story about the fourth Kikoyan. It was a story because he lost his shape. What's the whole
mushroom
doesn't make sense.
You'll have to go to the authority and turn it.
Why do you bring this up now? Why is that on Yom Kippur?
Every Yom Kippur.
To
whom? Doesn't talk in middle davening. How's he supposed to ask to the Yom Kippur?
The source of shade is the tree. No, I mean, filthy
But he's trying to, I understand that very well. Hashem was trying to tell you that people get annoyed by comforts that they have that are taken away from them. They feel like it belongs to them. And all of a sudden, this thing that made them feel better is being taken away from them. It's discomforting. So Hashem said, it's discomforting for you, you lose your shade. It shouldn't be discomforting for me when I lose a city. He's just proving a point. Here you are. You got this comfort yesterday.
You didn't work for it. You didn't work for it.
You actually worked so hard for Nimbe and built
it
in there.
Yeah. I worked hard. Hashem doesn't work hard. But Hashem, it's his city, millions of people, and it shouldn't be discomforting to destroy them? You get so thrown off because you lost your extra comfort. Necessary comfort, whatever you want to call it. I mean, Yaina wasn't indulging. He was basically, it was a very hot sun. He was fainting. So Hashem did him a nace, and all of a sudden this Kikoyan came and saved him, and all of a sudden it's gone. It's very discomforting. Okay, you're upset about this. I got a whole city. I don't know if that's a metaphor. I don't know exactly what a metaphor is, but I don't think this qualifies as a metaphor. Mashallah. That's the Gemara like that Tashima. A ger that's born Jewish, conceived as a non-Jew. He's born Jewish, so he's really not a ger. It's a misnomer. He's not a ger. He was born Jewish. He has maternal relatives because he's a born Jew. His maternal relatives are biblically his relatives. He has no paternal relatives because his father was a guy, and he's not related to his father, so he's not related to any of his father's relatives.
What about a brother prior to his birth, from the mother?
Not related to him either.
And Rabbi, we said that after conception, father converts before birth. Father is still not.
A father's role and his relationship to the kid is over at conception. He has nothing to do with the child afterwards. The mother is the mother that carries the baby for 9 months.
So even if mom and dad convert together.
Right. Even if mom and dad convert together, he has maternal relatives because he's born Jewish. He has no paternal relatives because his father conceived him, is not the right word, whatever the word is, caused his conception.
You could marry that father's sister, the mushroom. She's the guy you're also.
Yeah.
Biblically, yes. Rabbinically, we'll talk about. It'd be nice to mechavah his father, but it's you know what I mean? I mean, it's no different than halachically, if a guy is adopted, he should be mechavah his adopted father as mechavah kind of akaras hatayim, the guy's raising him. There is a Shiloh and Paiskim, and I'm not remembering 100% clear the answer. If a guy has a biological father and an adopted father, and he has a son, who he should give son the cause to? His real father, who is Mechuyev Kibbut Avim biblically, or his adopted father, the one who raised him, the one he owes so much to be sandik at the kid's breast. Right, the minute he gets to give it to a grandfather. So now who is the grandfather of this baby? I mean, biologically, it's Mr. So-and-so. Who raised the father? Mr. Somebody else. So I saw it as Shiloh and Paiskim, I don't remember the Pesach. If I wouldn't rely on my memory here, But I think the psak was his biological father, because that's the father, but I'm not sure. You only have one son. Even though when I was a young Gemara yeshiva, I was in Kaitel, my yeshiva used to get tzandikos. He was a very old, he was a much older person. And whenever he had tzandik, he didn't look anyway. He, like, looked away. And when he got older, he used to pick his hand up. Like, he wasn't concentrating on keeping his hands down on the baby. So the male, in order to prevent that, used to have a younger man put his hands on the yeshiva, like a little bit, like, not hard. Just in case the yeshiva's hand fly up, it shouldn't fly up for the safety of the baby. So I did this a number of times. I used to say that I'm really the tzaddik. So I'm the one that's holding the baby down.
You
give
the grandfather that
people. but that, honestly, it's not true. But I just, anyway. He raised the guy. But he did everything a father should do.
That's
a risk. I mean,
raising a child.
He raised the kid. You know what I mean? He did a lot of money and effort and pain and nights with sleepless nights. I mean, there's a lot of things that went into it. There's no car at that time. Don't you owe the guy appreciation? Who are you more appreciative of? Okay, that's the Shiloh. That was the Shiloh.
The question is whether he said more kibbut of than
a correct. Correct. That's exactly the question. I thought everybody would take the side that the adoptive father should get it. He's the guy that put all the thing in. This guy just, you know, he's gone. And here, I'm happy to hear that you're taking it. I always like when people take the side I didn't think people would take. That way it evens the playing field. I thought everybody would tell me, here's the guy that invested all this time and you're giving it to the other guy who never showed up? Never paid. This guy paid tuition?
Keep it up for a
I'm happy again. First of all, not necessarily, but I'm not getting involved in that. He wasn't to Russia. For whatever reason, he wasn't involved. I'm not blaming him in Russia. Again, I'm happy you took that side. It makes life simpler for me. Because I thought everybody was going to jump on me and say the other way.
I mean, if you look at it, I myself think
I know he's the father. You don't have to show me he's the father.
No, if Hashem enabled him to be the father, Hashem's trying to tell us something.
You're above my pay grade. You know what I mean? You're above my pay grade.
Are you a nature or nurture?
Abraham, that's above my pay grade. I can't deal with that. I didn't say you don't believe it. I just don't.
The ethos of that father, biological father, even though somebody else trained him, what ethos
did he get? Oh, a lot of it. Nature
or nurture.
We'll continue, Mitch. Tomorrow, everybody have a one.